Well, good Monday. I'm sorry, good Monday morning. Good Tuesday morning, everybody. I'm still drinking my coffee. Tuesday morning, that's right. This is CA, your on-air personality on the iHeartRadio Network. I'm up top the tower here at beautiful Face Studio 1, the iHeartRadio studio in beautiful downtown Fort Worth. It has been hot. It was really kind of crazy. Someone had told me the other day, they said, CA, do you remember when in the 1980s, and this was my very young years, you remember we were frying eggs out on the street? And I said, yeah. He goes, well, I think they're going to be doing that in downtown. I said, oh, boy, they're going to have one of those cooking eggs on the street contest, huh? He said, yeah, probably so. So you know how that is. They got a lot of people that do live in downtown Fort Worth. So they got all kinds of activities that go on from time to time. But good morning, everybody. I hope you're coffeeed up or coffeeing up as you get ready to head off to work. I've got a great show that's going to be lined up. I'm going to tell you about it here in just a little bit. And our fan favorite is here too. He's in the building drinking coffee even as I speak. I want to remind you, as always, if you have any questions, comments, suggestions, or want to say a howdy ho, howdy who to the good old CA, feel free. You can email me morningsbrew@gmail.com. morningsbrew@gmail.com. Also, like me on my Facebook page, The Morning Brew Christian Podcast. Check that like button, guys. Now, I do have station information. You can click on that. It has my direct number. You can send me a text. You can call me. Whatever works out best. You have prayer requests, whatever. I'm reachable anytime for you guys. I just want you to know that, okay? All right, on a very hot day in downtown Fort Worth, I don't know what's going on all across America. Let's talk about our show today. On a Tuesday morning, not Monday, Tuesday. So I had to kind of go back a day. All right. Fan favorite Deacon Paul Brown with the Castleberry Bye-bye This Church. That's right, Bye-bye This Church. Kind of threw it as that little stutter there in beautiful Tyler, Texas. Be joining us here in just a bit. Also, got a couple of great Christian songs we're going to be playing. And got a Bible devotion I'm fixing to read to you. That's right, Walk With God. And we're going to do a love story today. Today's love story is Ruth and Boaz, a beautiful love story with a powerful meaning. Huh, CA? Love story? Yeah. It's all going to blend in on today's show. Ruth and Boaz, a beautiful love story with a powerful ending. You don't want to miss it, so stay tuned. All right, I want everybody to get jumping jack ready. Are you jumping jack ready, or do I need to get our friend Denise Austin to get y'all jump started? I can't hear you. Not in radio land. All right. Loosen those limbs up on your arms. Let's get Jumping Jack ready. We're going to do 10 of them. Actually, 20 if you go backwards. Yeah. Anyway, here we go. Put your coffee down and relax. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Let's roll. On a Tuesday morning, the Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show. All right, today's Bible devotion is a good one. It's on walk with God. We all, as Christians, walk with God, or we should be, right? Well, the book of Psalms, friends, Psalms 101 and verse 6, Scripture reminds us, "My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me." You remember when walk with God as Noah did. When the flood came, Noah was saved amidst the scorn and the rejection of his neighbors. Walk with God as Moses did with the solitude in the desert. When the hour of judgment fell on Egypt, Moses was prepared to lead his people to victory. Walk with God as David did as a shepherd boy. When he was called to rule his people, he was prepared for the task of kingmanship. Walk with God as Daniel and his three young friends did in the palace of Babylon's king when the fiery furnace and the lion's den came. God was beside them and delivered them. No, God didn't always deliver his saints from adversity or even death, nor does he today. But because they have learned to trust him in the light, they are prepared to follow him in the darkness. You see, friends, God has not promised to deliver us from trouble, but he has promised to go with us through the trouble. "Yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for you are with me." You may want to highlight that, or I'm sure you remember it in the book of Psalms, chapter 23 and verse 4. Stand by. He's ready. Deacon Paul Brown with the Castleberry Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas. Stand by. As he has coffee in hands, friends, getting close up to the iHeartRadio studio mic, let's just go ahead and introduce him. He loves it when I play his song a little longer. Let's give him a cheer. All right, let's give him a Morning Brew Christian Podcast Plant hand clap, guys. It wouldn't be right without some morning crow. Security Sam, quit laughing at him, please. You and your security guys, we don't need that. All right, whistle at him. All right, come over here, buddy. Drum roll. Fanfare. Countdown for the Deke.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6. 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
There we go, ladies and gentlemen, your friend, my friend, Deacon Paul Brown. How wonderful it always is, from the Castleberry Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas. Deacon, it's all yours.
Well, good morning there, CA, and let me reintroduce myself. This is Deacon Paul Brown with the Castleberry Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas. How are you doing, everybody out there in Radio Land? CA, before we get started, me and Miss Mildred have an anniversary coming up, our 50th year.
Oh, how exciting. Well, let's give you a cheer for that. I want to give you some hand claps, too, as well. And also Morning Crow again. You deserve that. All right.
Yeah, and before I tell you a little bit about what I got kind of planned, I'm going to give you a hint, everybody. Maestro, hit it.
Oh, Deacon.
CA, just listen now.
Well, I wouldn't say new romance. I kind of freeze it there for you. You said maestro.
Well, CA, I just wanted you to play part of it. Now, it's not a new romance. It's a 50-year anniversary. Yes, indeed. Yours truly, Deacon Paul Brown with the Castleberry Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas, is taking the lovely Miss Mildred on a cruise, calling it the Deacon Love Boat.
Oh, okay. Well, woo. It's getting a little hot in the studio now. We are a rated G. I repeat, a rated G Christian podcast. So, Deacon, man, we might need to talk about this later on, pal. Well, I'm happy for you, man. And by the way, on behalf of me, the Morning Brew Christian podcast team, and everybody, we want to wish you happy 50 years. To you and Miss Mildred, I know you're leaving all next week, so you're not even going to be able to be at the studio next week at all, any at all, right?
Not at all there, CA. You know, it's so vitally important that I spend time with my wife, and it is, because I love her so much. And you know, I gotta tell you, one of her pet peeves is she always wants me to go, and I just want to say a few little things. She always wants me to go to the farmer's market, okay? And she kind of makes it up to me.
Oh, really? How so?
Well, you know, as long as you've known me for, oh, what, almost 4 years?
Yeah.
Well, here's what she does. She takes me to the farmer's market. She says, honey, I want you to go down here, and I want you to go get the red ripe tomatoes. Now, CA, you know that I love the green tomatoes.
Yeah, I know you like the green tomatoes versus the really beautiful red ripe tomatoes.
CA, now I know you in the Texas you call them tomatoes. I call them tomatoes, you know, the main tomatoes.
Okay, all right, tomatoes.
But anyway, so what we do is I get some pecans and stuff like that for her baking and when she wants to bake pies and stuff like that. But anyway, CA, I just want to tell you, she makes it up to me. You know why?
No.
Because she takes me to the Turnip Cafe, where I have a big old juicy chicken fried steak for dinner with the mashed potatoes with that gravy sliding on it. And then a bottle of Heinz 57 sauce and butter corn.
There you go. Well, you can't go wrong there. So, you're going to go on this love boat tour, and you're going to be gone for a week.
Yeah, it's going to be nice, and we're looking so forward to it. Now, when I get back later on, I'll tell y'all all about it. I'll share the details, the good details now, the good, clean, rated G details.
All right. There you go, buddy. Well, you know, today here in a little while, I know you got to leave in a while because you got to head back. I know you've been in town for a few days taking care of business. We're going to be talking about Ruth and Boaz. It's a beautiful love story with a powerful... hit my mic there. A beautiful love story with a powerful ending. So we're going to be talking about that here in a little bit. But I wanted to wish you well. I wanted to say, again, happy 50th anniversary to you and the lovely Miss Mildred.
I'll be sure to deliver that for her CA.
One day maybe we'll have her on the air.
She's a little bashful, but maybe one day, and she'll tell you all the secrets about Deacon Paul Brown, the head deacon of the Castleberry Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas.
All right, there you go. Okay, well, you take care, and you want to tell everybody in closing?
I just want to say y'all have a safe week, stay hydrated, and have fun and enjoy life. LIFE explanation point dot and share CA's podcast, number one Christian podcast, on the iHeartRadio or any other network.
There you go.
And subscribe for free. He never charges.
That's right. That's right. All right. Thank you, friend. You take care and you have a great day.
You too.
All right. Before we get on our lesson, how about this? Rich Mullins and the Ragamuffin Band, fan favorite, Awesome God. Yes, indeed. Get you coffee and get ready for the love story. The late Rich Mullins and his signature song, Our God is an Awesome God. Amen, amen. You know, if you ever get a chance, if you go on, you know what, I was going to say, if you had it, I don't even think it's on Netflix. I watched it on Netflix a long, long time ago. But if you get a chance, I want you to go to YouTube and I want you to search up Ragamuffin, the story of Rich Mullins. It is an awesome story, and I want you to beam it to your TV if you can, or watch it on your phone or your tablet. It gives a whole history of some of the insights of Rich Mullins and how he got started and his untimely death. He died at a very young age, but you know what? He touched a lot of hearts and he did a lot of good deeds. And I encourage you, it's called Ragamuffin, okay? All right, well, today we're going to do a love story, yes. A Love Boat song, by the way, that Deacon had want me to play. Kind of keys in a little bit to this. We're going to talk about Ruth and Boaz, friends. It's a beautiful love story with a powerful ending. You know, the Book of Ruth does not always get the respect that it deserves. It's tucked between the books of Judges and 1 Samuel. And it can be easily missed when thumbing through the Old Testament. Very easy, in fact. It's just 4 chapters. And you know, it holds no account of exciting battles or awe-inspiration miracles. Instead, Ruth reads like a quaint love story. It's almost like it seems out of place. But I'm going to tell you something. The story of Ruth and Boaz is simple. Having suffered the loss of her husband and her 2 sons, Naomi must return to her family in Bethlehem. Now Ruth, Naomi's daughter-in-law, chooses to go on the journey with her. It is here where she meets Boaz, whom eventually she marries. The book ends with the record of Ruth and Boaz's children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, and that's pretty much it. Now, while this book may not contain epic battles or divine displays of power, Ruth is packed with the meaning. Both Ruth and Boaz have an impact far beyond the 4 chapters they inhabit. In fact, friends, Ruth and Boaz are important people within God's unfolding plan of salvation. I'm going to give you 7 things that you need to know about these 2 important biblical characters. The first thing I'm going to tell you is, what is the story people ask about Ruth and Boaz? Well, the book of Ruth, friends, opens with a description of Naomi and Elkanah living in the nation of Moab. This is due to the famine in Judah. While in Moab, their 2 sons, Mahlon and Chilion, marry Moabite women. Ruth is one of those wives. Now, the Moabites are tracked back to the lineage of Lot, and that is the nephew of Abraham. Despite this familiar link, however, Moab was part of 12 tribes of Israel. They were a separate nation. Thus, Israel and Moab frequently fought over territory. In fact, if you go to the book of Judges, you may want to highlight this, specifically called the Moabites, Israel's enemies. Book of Judges, it's in chapter 3 and verse 28. This is particular because Moab worshipped a different god than the Israelites, whereas Israel worshipped Yahim. Okay? Moab's deity was known as Chemosh. This means that Ruth was a foreign woman and not part of the covenant people of God. Despite this, it was through Ruth that God's covenant promised is feathered. We should see this theme consistently in scriptures. In fact, God chooses the foolish and the weak to bless the people and establish God's promises. You know, you can go to the book of 1 Corinthians. That's another one. Read that short little verse on chapter 1, verse 27. Ruth is a prime example of this. After the death of Mahlon and Chilion, Naomi attempts to release her daughter-in-laws from any obligations and family. Moving back home, Naomi argues, and it would allow them to remarry and begin a new stage in their lives. Now, Oprah agrees and returns to her family. Ruth, however, decides to remain with Naomi. Ruth finds a way to support her mother-in-law by gathering leftovers of grain that harvesters would leave in the fields. Ruth would work tirelessly from sunrise to sunset collecting the grain. Boaz, and he enters in this, was a wealthy man who owned the fields that Ruth gleaned in. Boaz saw Ruth and asked his harvesters who she was and told them the story of Ruth. In his kindness, Boaz told Ruth that she should come and work alongside his harvesters and would not be harmed. Boaz showed favor to Ruth, giving her food and protection. When Boaz marries Ruth, he acts as the kinsman redeemer of the Elimelech's family. This was a deeply held tradition in Israel. If a man died, leaving a widow or her children, the incumbent or the other males of the family, to redeem the widow. This is a way the families to care for the widow and orphan. Additionally, there was a strong economic incentive to this. The succession of the land and the possessions within the family was crucial. Land allotted the tribe of Judah, for example, not to be given to the tribe of Zebulun. Thus, not only was the act of the kinsman's redeemer important for our protection and care of the widow, but it is also ensured that the land ownership did not move outside one's family tradition heritage. Boaz recognized that he was not in line to act as the more or less the kinsman redeemer. Boaz kept silent. He could have simply redeemed the property in Ruth without interference, if you think about it, right? He would have gained the woman he loved and the economic benefit of the land. With no one the wiser, instead, he chooses to remain honest. You see, Boaz searches out the rightful kinsman's redeemer described in the situation. The day you acquire the field from the hand of Naomi, you are acquiring Ruth, the Moabite, the widow of the dead man, to obtain the dead man's name on the inheritance. If you go to Ruth chapter 4, verse 5, it talks about the man rejects the claim and Boaz marries Ruth. In each stage of the negotiation, Boaz remains forthright and honest, proving him to be the righteous before God and others. Second point people ask is, what else do we know about Boaz? Well, Boaz only receives passing mention outside the book of Ruth. He is described as a prominent rich man of the family of the Elimelechites. In fact, you can read the book of short verse, book of Ruth, verse chapter 2, verse 1. Nothing more is mentioned about Boaz until we read about his genealogy at the end of Ruth. Here we read that Boaz's father was named Salmon. Now, it is in the Gospel of Matthew, however, that we hear of his mother as part of the genealogy. Matthew records that Salmon, the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse. That's in the book of Matthew, chapter 1 and verse 5. The Rahab being referred to is the very Rahab who hid the Israelites' spies in Jericho. Remember that? In fact, biblical genealogies does not necessarily list every name in succession. It really doesn't. Thus, it is possible that Rahab was Boaz's grandmother. And this is just speculation, what I'm thinking. Or even great-grandmother. The important element, however, is that Boaz is a direct descendant of the Heron of the faith. Boaz testifies that God continues to work through Rahab beyond the destruction of Jericho. More importantly, he shows the grand arc of God's salvation plan. You see, God set the stage for the birth of King David generations later, as we read in the book of Joshua. So Ruth and Boaz are great-grandparents of David. Arguably, one of the biggest names in the Old Testament is that of King David. David is one of the greatest kings, a military strategist, right? Beyond the compare, as we read, and the author of many Psalms. More than anything, David is described as a man after God's own heart. Find that in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 13 and verse 14. Many of the famous stories of the Old Testament detail the highs and the lows of David's life. David is descended of Ruth and Boaz. In fact, the book itself closes with the mention of David in the book of Ruth, chapter 4, verse 21. Ruth and Boaz play an important role in this respect. Their marriage sets the stage for the great king of Israel. And the one who is in line to become the Messiah. That means that Ruth and Boaz play a key role in outworking of God's loving plan of salvation. So Ruth and Boaz are mentioned in the lineage of Jesus. In fact, the gospel of Matthew opens with the genealogy. Matthew traces Jesus' early linkage and all the way back to Adam. Many names are found in this genealogy. Some well known, some lesser known. Astoundingly, Matthew makes a point mentioning both Ruth and Boaz. Now, we cannot underestimate the significance of this. See, Jesus continually embraces those who are considered unholy or unclean. Jesus touches those he should not touch and goes to places that no faithful Jewish person would go. He offers love and forgiveness to those cast aside and deemed beyond the scope of religious sensibility. Friends, this embracing of the other is rooted not only in divine personal personhood, but in his earthly personhood as well. Jesus is born in the line of David, which means his earthly ancestry includes a Moabite woman and a prostitute from Jericho. How astounding is this that Christ's assumption of fallen humanity goes even to the family lineage he adopts in the incarnation. This proves that this is nothing but God's love and grace will not overcome. Now, seeing God in the love story of Ruth and Boaz, the book of Ruth does not mention any advert of the acts of the Lord. Yah is mentioned in each chapter, yet it never mentions to speak or act. In fact, the only mention of the Lord's action found in the end of the book, where it reads that the Lord enabled Ruth to conceive, is in the book of Ruth, chapter 4, verse 13. Beyond this, the Lord seems somewhat absent throughout the book's events, or maybe not, if we think about that. One of the most provocative statements in the book of Ruth occurs when Ruth goes to glean some wheat. It is here where she meets Boaz. The phrase used to describe the chance of this encounter, as it happened in the book of Ruth, chapter 2, verse 3, it reads like a random occurrence. Ruth could not have met anyone in the field. It just so happened that she met Boaz. And this encounter with Boaz can be easily written off as a mere consequence when we consider the lineages of both Ruth and Boaz. However, and how their offspring paves the way for the birth of David and the Messiah. This can hardly be considered a random incident. As it happened, it's a wonderful day to describe the activity of God working behind the scenes to bring about God's purposes. At first glance, the book of Ruth may appear to be nothing more than a quaint romance. But when we dig a bit deeper into this, however, we find an exciting story of God working for salvation of his people in creative and exciting ways. You see, God brings about God's purposes through unlikely circumstances and people. The book of Ruth testifies that there is nothing beyond the redemptive activity of the Lord. Even when we think that the Lord is silent, God is active. Remember that. May these seven true stories that I've told you guys, that I've indulged in on my notes, inspire you to read that book of Ruth. And you may want to reread it again. And you may want to, learn from it. And may it touch your heart. Because you see, before I play this last song, which is a kind of a love story song, I get requests from. I don't play it too often, but I get a lot of people that say, "Hey, will you play this? It's a Dave Barnes song." But before I play this song, when the Lord works in mysterious ways that I may not understand and ways that you may not understand, when you let go and let God, he can pave so many ways for us, so many ways that we can't even explain it. Sometimes I'm in awe because it's like, bam. You know, maybe in your life, maybe he sent those of y'all that are married sent your wife to you, your husband. and you're just in awe. You just can't believe. You didn't think that maybe he or she even existed. But what does the Lord say? Wait upon me and let me take care of things. Because a lot of times we get ahead of God. And we don't want to do that. We want to do what God wants us to do. We have to be humble, obedient, and pray. Amen? Amen. All right, here we go. God gave me you with Dave Barnes. That is a beautiful song. Dave Barnes, God Gave Me You. Just, boy, I love teaching and talking about love. I think that's what's missing in America, a lot of love. And it's horrible. You know, I see married couples, I don't judge the book by the cover, and they just don't look happy. Why are they not happy, CA? Well, do they have God first place in their life? Do they keep God front and center? Let me just say this before I close out in prayer. I'm not a marital counselor, okay? I did go to Bible college, but I will tell you this. Advice to the husbands out there. We're going to flip a little bit here, okay? If you're married, you walk in the door of your house. Okay, it's a safe haven, right? Just a place to get away. You got out of your work, it's been hectic, but your wife is maybe going through a bad day. Don't just head to the refrigerator. Sit down and listen to her and give her the kind word. You set the tone. Honey, how's your day? Example. Honey, how was your day? And let her talk it out. And then, you know, despite how your day is, just say, you know, I'm sorry you had that kind of day. We're going to, you know, tomorrow's a new day. It's going to be better, hon. And I'm here, and we're going to have some joy and happiness in our house. Set your tone. Wives, the same thing. Vice versa, flip it. Husband come in, he has a bad day. When we all do. You set the tone for your home too as well. If you have children living there, you set the tone for your home. Best advice I can give you, arguments and stuff, take it outside. Don't take it in front of children. Never. One thing about me in the past that I did was anytime something erupts like a volcano, okay? Because you're going to have that. This is just, being a Christian isn't an easy road. Take it outside and find find an immediate fix. Don't let it drag so much that it could be a zit, and I don't mean talk crazy, that fester and pop and explode even more. And then your children hear it, whether you have one child or 7, 8 kids. Don't bring it to your home. Those God's little people, even teenagers or whatever may be living at home with you, don't bring it to your home. Home is a safe haven of love and happiness, and keep God centered in it. And have family time to pray. And say, honey, we're going to pray for continual in our relationship. And, you know, love your wife as you love the church. Right? Bible, scripture reminds us. Wives need to love their husbands. But we live in a diverse society where a lot of them mess around. And I hate to say that. And it's sad. The internet's destroying lives. It's reachable in good sense. But as anything else, it has its bad sense too as well. You're all going to get a little weak in the flesh. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Got a little allergies up here at the studio. But don't get weak and realize that, especially being married. You know, I'm not married, but I mean, y'all, you know, you guys that are married, keep your relationship strong. Best advice I can give you, okay? All right, well, let's lead off in prayers. Get ready to close out. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for all you do. Father God, I just pray you be with us, guide us, watch over, protect us. Let us have a great Tuesday, for we love you. And all God's people said, amen. All right, friends, I'm going to saddle up. I got to get ready to leave the tower here at Faith Studio 1, the iHeartRadio studio. I want you to remember the sun does rise on the other side. And I want you to enjoy life. LIFE! Till we talk again, bye for now.